We return to our public scripture reading, which is Psalm 27, and recalling that the general theme of this particular psalm shows us how when facing trouble from both adversaries and adversity, the people of God have nothing to fear because of who God is. Well, this morning, we're going to be musing on verses 7 through 12 of Psalm 27. And in comparing this section of Psalm 27 to the first six verses, we can say this: the abiding faith that we see in verses 1 through 6 suddenly becomes the agitated faith of verses 7 through 12, where in one moment you're experiencing the calm of faith, basking in the beauty of the Lord, and then in the next moment you're facing the crisis of faith with an unnerving emergency. And facing that, what do we see David doing in verses 7 through 12? First of all, David pleads with God not to turn his favor and kindness away. Verse 7, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger." David is pleading with God to begin with, in this crisis moment of faith, that the Lord would not turn his favor, his kindness, the sense of his mercy away from David. And I think it's very important that we see in this that the fact that David is asking God to be gracious to him, the fact that David is asking the Lord not to hide his face from him, not to turn his servant away in anger, beloved, this should be teaching us very clearly that we should never presume on the grace of God. We should never presume on his kindness. We should never presume on his favor as if somehow we're entitled to it, as if somehow we deserve it, when the truth is we don't. We don't. And even for us as the people of God, once we are born again, once we are part of God's family, even then, because there is where we see the danger, that now that we are a child of God, now that we are adopted into God's family through Jesus Christ our Lord, there we see the danger and the temptation to presume on the kindness, the goodness, the mercy, and the favor of the Lord. Well, I know the Lord will come through. But David is here teaching us, don't make such a presumption. Don't make such a presumption. No, the Lord can, and when the Lord does chasten us, he does indeed turn his favor, his kindness, his goodness away. But there's something else that David also brings before God. He remembers God's faithfulness in the past and banks on it in the present. Now, this is what we see in the rest of verse 9 and verse 10. "O you who have been my help, cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Now again, there's humility there because David is saying, cast me not off, forsake me not. So he's not presuming. But yet at the same time, he is remembering God's faithfulness to him in the past. And thus he says to the Lord, O you who have been my help. You who have been my help. O God of my salvation. And then in the latter half of verse 10, the Lord will take me in. So David remembers God's faithfulness to him from days gone by, and he is banking on that same faithfulness, knowing, of course, that God does not change, but he's banking on this with humility and with hope, not with arrogance, not with presumption, that God will remain faithful still. But then thirdly, we see David praying for God to order his steps in the right way. Praying for God to order his steps in the right way. And this is what we find in verses 11 and 12. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. David says, teach me your way. Lead me on a level path. That level path is the right way, the straight way. It's what we read in Proverbs chapter 3. In verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight, level, even. And the sense of that is, even in a moral and righteous way. And so, because of David's immediate circumstances, now think of this. His adversaries have risen against him. And what are they doing? They are slandering him. He says, for false witnesses have risen against me and they breathe out violence. False witnesses. Slander. What is the ninth commandment? You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. It's the worst kind of lying that there is. And so here is David facing these kind of enemies. And in the midst of this, what he's asking of the Lord is, lead me in a path that will be morally right so that I do not give my enemies the kind of ammunition they're really looking for. They may be breathing out false things about me. They may be accusing me of things that are not true of me. But Lord, order my steps in such a way that I'm walking in a path that keeps me above reproach, that keeps me blameless from what they are accusing me of. This is a very humble petition. It's a very humble petition. Well, what should be our biggest takeaway from these verses? I'll sum it up in this way. When facing diverse trials, don't give way to worry or leaning on your own understanding, but seek God for the wisdom you need to cut a clear path. Let me say that again. When facing diverse trials, don't give way to worry or leaning on your own understanding, but seek God. And is that not what David is doing? He is seeking God. his heart's desire, he says, is to seek the face of the Lord. So, seek God for the wisdom. Seek him for the wisdom. Verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path. So seek God for the wisdom you need to cut a clear path. And that clear path is obviously the righteous path. It is the holy path. It is the pathway that is going to honor and glorify God. It's the pathway that's going to be in conformity to his word. Now, two passages of scripture, both from the Old and New Testament, that parallel with this, one of which I have just quoted, but I will bring this to your attention once more. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. This is a passage that for all of us who are Christians and who've been Christians for any length of time should know these two verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And the heart there is referring to the core of who you are, to everything that you are. So Solomon is saying, trust in the Lord with everything that you are. And do not lean, that is, do not put all of your weight on your own understanding. In other words, do not follow the philosophy of Disney that says, believe in your heart and follow your heart. Don't do that. That is bad, bad, bad. Okay? That is not good. That is not good at all. And why should we not follow our heart? Why? Because the heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. That's why. That's why. Your heart is deceitful. Your heart will lie to you. Okay, so we don't put all of our weight on our own understanding. We trust in the Lord with all that we are. But then look at the benefit. The benefit of doing such is that in all your ways acknowledge him, which is just repeating the same thing but in different language, and he will make straight your paths. He will level your pathway in the right way, always. Okay, another passage of scripture that speaks to this is in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And in James chapter 1, again, this is another passage that you're probably very, very familiar with. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect, that is, mature and complete, lacking in nothing. All right, look at verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. We often read verse 5 separated and isolated from the context, but keep it in its context. When you meet trials of various kinds and you are lacking the wisdom to know which way to turn, what decision to make, what does the Word of God say? If any of you lacks wisdom, where are you going to go to get the wisdom? Let him ask of God. Let him ask of God. And God, who does what? Gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Is that what we see David doing in Psalm 27? That's exactly what we see David doing in Psalm 27. David is praying, Lord, teach me your ways. He's asking God for the wisdom he lacks in this immediate trial, in this immediate circumstance. Teach me your ways. David is not leaning on his own understanding. He is trusting God with all of his heart. And therefore, he's trusting that the pathway that he will take, the pathway that God will lead him on, will be the path of righteousness, the right path, the right moral path. And that is where our trust should be as well, in all circumstances. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, how often is it so true of us, Lord, that when we face adverse circumstances, trials of various kinds, we confess to you, Father, that our tempting default is to turn to the flesh, to put all of our weight on our own understanding, to figure out the way in which we should go. And Lord, you have shown us here this morning in these few moments from Psalm 27 and from Proverbs chapter 3 and from James chapter 1, you have refreshed us again with seeing that the only right way is your way. And therefore, it is you, O Lord, who we should and always trust with the whole of our heart. And that, not just in every circumstance, but most especially when we are facing such circumstances that are trying our faith greatly. Father, we ask your forgiveness for the many times we have not turned to you, like we see David doing. For the many times that we have failed to remember your faithfulness to us in the past and to trust in you for that same faithfulness in the present. For the many times, Father, that we have not looked to the sufficiency of your way, guided by the light of your word, but have instead sought the counsel of the world to some measure, to some degree, if not the counsel of our own carnality, in what we think by our own common sense would be the right path to take. Forgive us, Lord, for such foolishness. Forgive us for every time we have indeed followed our heart. We trust in you for the grace to repent of such folly. And like David, Lord, your servant, as expressed and as seen here in Psalm 27, we pray for the grace to be as one who seeks your face, and that with the whole of our heart, to trust in you with all that we are, casting all our cares on you, every anxiety and fear and worry, all of it, and not daring to lean any further on what we may think in our limited understanding what the right way is. But instead, Lord, according to your word, according to the command that comes with a promise, we ask of you today for the wisdom we lack and therefore the wisdom we need to know how we are to go in our present circumstances that are bringing such adversity upon us. We thank you, Father, for the promise that if we lack the wisdom we need, that we are to simply ask of you and to do so with faith and no doubting, and you will give us that wisdom. And so, Father, we thank you for that wisdom, even in advance, believing and trusting you, Lord, as the God who cannot lie, that what you have promised to give, you will indeed give. That you will carry out what you have claimed. We trust in you with all our hearts for this now and for the days ahead. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, in his name we pray. Amen and amen.